The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Start the timer.
You, the one with that smile, yeah. Come over here for a while. Hey, girl, do you hear what I say? I don't have time to be waiting all day.
Today, we're taking 20 minutes to finish up introducing our top movies of 2022 so far. Previous episode, we did our 10 through 6 and ran out of time. So now we're going to do 5 to 1.
And who are we again?
I'm Chris Lambert.
And my name's Travis Bain. And yeah, so I guess I'll launch in since I was, this was the order we were going in before. My number 5, God. I just like, it's fun, like doing this list, I immediately just like, nobody can trust anything I ever say. but it is what it is. My number 5 is Dog, the Channing Tatum and starring in movie. I think this movie is, incredible is such a, who uses that word? But like, it kind of is an incredible movie. Like I was really blown away by it. Like my wife and I, we watched it because we kind of expected to watch it, like have a good time. Like we're big fans of like Magic Mike and like, you know, Step Up, like all these like goofy movies that Channing Tatum does. But also like genuinely into him. Like we enjoy him in like 21 Jump Street and stuff like that. I even like liked him in The Lost City, even though that movie was garbage. But man, I gotta say, like, it's really, really well directed. Like a lot of great shots, a lot of shots that like emphasize like the character's plight and what they're going through. It brings emotion to what's happening. And just like, it's just such a simple storyline in a way that I really appreciate. Like it's just about a guy who's traveling across country with a dog to bring the dog to a funeral. But like so much happens with such little meat, you know, it's just incredible. I've never seen a movie. Well, not never seen a movie like it, but like lately, like I never see movies like this. And I think I just really latched onto it. It was so different and so humble, yet very powerful and well acted. Like I think Channing Tatum's just getting better and better. And the fact that like he directed it well, like I think all around I was just kind of blown away by it in a way that it became one of my more memorable experiences of the year. So it's my number 5.
I didn't realize he directed it.
Oh yeah, he co-directed it.
Co-directed.
I don't know what that means anymore. Like, well, two people direct a movie? Like, what is that?
Yeah. He just, like, finishes a scene as, like, did you get the shot? They're like, yes.
All right, great. I want directing credit on this, by the way, because I asked you if you got the shot.
Yeah. Do I get that?
No, I think Channing Tatum, I don't know. I believe he can do anything, so he can direct a movie.
He's got the magic. He's got the touch.
He's got the magic mic.
Okay, so my number, I still haven't seen Dog. Maybe at some point.
You and the rest of the world.
Yeah. Though I will say I saw the trailer for Magic Mike 3, Fuck. Last Dance.
Oh my God.
And it seems I'm interested in it, Soderbergh. But I haven't seen the first two Magic Mikes.
Oh, God, Magic Mike. I mean, sometime we'll do an all-time favorite movies episode, but Magic Mike XXL, legitimately one of my all-time favorite movies.
This is what we're talking about, how this is a good way of getting to know us. Like, you are either really into that statement or you are really opposed.
Or you're hitting stop right now.
Yeah. My number 5 for 2022 is Fire of Love, which was number 1 for a little bit.
I want to see this.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a documentary. These volcanologists are like two of the most famous volcanologists in the entire world, where he was a videographer and she was a photographer, or God, it's been a few months now, but they had like a really good dynamic in terms of their expertise in volcanology. And most of like they would put together these very educational like videos and sell their materials. And how the movie's structured, starting with like being a biography of them and their like relationship and career and relationship to volcanoes in this very positive kind of heartwarming way. Mm. And then there's a turn and pivot in their lives where they go from studying the red volcanoes, as they call them, to the gray volcanoes. And it's after Mount St. Helens and realizing that like, while the red volcanoes with all the lava are really cool and spectacular and people like them, they're usually not very deadly. And so pretty safe just to hang out around, even if you're like next to the lava. But the gray volcanoes, those are just like deadly, deadly, like killer volcanoes. And you, the way that the film kind of pivots with the introduction of the gray volcanoes and them heading down that path in their careers was just really emotional and intimidating. It's some of the best footage I've ever seen in a movie. And I'm somebody that really likes scope and scale. Like, if a movie's like really portraying like big ideas and big concepts and big visuals, I'm really into that. So Fire of Love being kind of the ultimate volcano movie was something really like special.
The ultimate volcano movie. That's how you sell it right there.
Yeah, right.
I love it. I really like Planet Earth and stuff like that too. So I bet I'd be into this.
I think so.
Number four for me is the Ty West directed horror classic X. I think this movie is awesome. I think Ty West is awesome. I've always loved him. I think House of the Devil is one of the best horror movies ever made. And ooh, horror is like maybe my favorite genre. It's up there. So that's like, that's a big statement for me that you should really take that to heart. Like, I don't just throw out that opinion to any movie. And I love The Innkeepers. He had a couple misfires, but he came back real strong with X. I think it's just, I love the way it's like compassionate with its characters. It's a very like kind of loving movie in a way, while being very horrific. It's just like a really cool balance and energy that I don't think you really get from a lot of horror movies these days. And I think one of the things I love most about it too is just that it's so, I don't know what the right word is, but it reminds me of like kind of low budgety 80s horror movies that really indulged and had like drugs and sex and like horrific deaths. Like it felt a little bit like there's like a Worksman attitude to it in that way. And it didn't shy away from all the stuff that I think like studios won't do anymore. Like you can't have like sex in a movie. Like you can't have people like doing drugs, but like it just really goes for it and makes that part of the aesthetic in a way that like, it's just so cool and unique and well done. And all the acting's so good that all around, it's just like one of the funnest experiences I had at a movie this year.
I'll talk about it a little bit more in a couple movies.
Higher than me. Wow, I like that.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
12 minutes, by the way. For number four for me is one that you talked about in the previous episode, RRR. Which, you know, I just talked about scope and scale and how much that appeals to me. And RRR is like this epic with these huge ideas and these huge character moments. The introduction, is it Raj? His first character introduction where you have the people storming the police station and all the
crazy
all scene. The police are scared, and the main one says, arrest this guy that's like part of the mob. And he just goes into the crowd, fights them all, arrests the guy and brings him back. And it's such a moment of like portraying the character as an unstoppable force that I just loved the sense that it brought and the theatrics that it brought to everything while still doing it in a very like thoughtful and high quality. It wasn't like a perfect movie. I thought it was maybe a more perfect for the first like 3/4 than the last fourth.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But it's still an consistency of ideas. Like one character was associated with fire, one was associated with water, and they kept finding ways throughout the movie to make sure that the character associated with fire, like, had fire in some way be part of their action sequences or the shots around them. And it was just that attention to detail was something that I appreciated a lot. So I had a lot of fun with RRR.
You describing that opening fighting scene, it just reminds me of like Neo fighting off all the Agent Smiths, but it's like bigger than that even.
Yeah, it makes that feel like kind of childish.
Yeah, right. Really cool. Well, let's not talk about The Matrix. It'll remind me of the new one. My number three is a movie no one has ever heard of and wants to hear me talk about. It's called Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy.
The
director, blinking on his name, but he directed Drive My Car. It's a really, it was maybe the most emotional I got with the movie this year. Like the reaction I had to it, like, stood out to me so much that I knew it just became one of those movies that, like, oh, I'm going to remember this and, like, want to revisit it. It's going to become, like, one of my movies. And it's basically this movie where it's three short stories. And each story is about somebody's love, like a love that they've lost, a love that they're trying to understand. And they're all, like, pivotal turning points in their lives. And each story is just done so delicately and empathetically and lovingly. Like, the energy of the movie, it's just so, I've watched the first like hour of Drive My Car and I can kind of see the similarities, but I feel like Drive My Car, I'm not going to ever love it as much as a movie like Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy, because like Drive My Car is so long, it maybe feels a little indulgent, where like I kind of appreciate the shortness of each of the stories in Wheel of Fortune Fantasy. Like, they kind of leave me wanting more in a way that I think works. Like, I've gotten to know everything I need to know about these characters, and like, and I've just steeped in that just enough that like I got their full story, yet I know like there's more. Like, there's something so beautiful about that aspect of it, that like every story at the end just left me going like, oh god. And then, like, there'd be another one starting, and I have to, like, completely, like, reorient myself and get myself emotionally ready to handle it. I don't know. It was just such an awesome experience.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie I remember you first talking about. It's one that I need to find a way to watch or I think make room to watch.
God, how did I watch it? It wasn't Mubi. It was on Criterion. It was on one of the, like, artsy channels, you know?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, for my number three, I have... You talk about, like, that movie, Wheel of Fortune Fantasy, if that was what it was called, being the one that made you feel, like, have the biggest reaction. I feel like the movie I'm about to say also made you have a big reaction, but in the opposite way, and that's Barbarian.
I knew we'd have to talk about it.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for Barbarian, and I thought I was going to not like the movie. It wasn't going to be up my alley at all. I thought they had given away everything in the trailer. But I saw a movie, and Barbarian was starting like 10 minutes later. And I asked my friend, like, do you just want to stay and watch Barbarian too?
Is that how
and
you said
we
it?
Did. Yeah, absolutely, like, verbatim, that voice. That's how I talk to my friends.
Right.
And we stayed, and I was so blown away. Like, Barbarian's the kind of movie that's much more like suited to me than I think is to you. Mm. Did you ever watch Tusk?
I haven't, but I always wanted to.
Like, Tusk and Barbarian are very similar to me, which maybe doesn't bode well for you and Tusk.
Yeah,
but
I'll probably still watch it.
I thought Tusk was like really surprising, and the kind of surprise that I want from a movie. Like, it really went there. I didn't expect it to go there from where it started. And Barbarian's another one where I was just so happy with the number of the choices that it made in terms of pivots and the change in direction and bringing in other perspectives and characters and how it did that. It's one of the most, it's some of the most like surprising, like surprises that I've experienced, or one of the most surprising movie experiences I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
To where like I really had a lot of fun in the theater and like with an audience that I could tell was equally like surprised and entertained, but also kind of on the edge of their seat.
That probably would have, I say this, but then I'm immediately like rethinking it. It might have helped me to see it in that kind of environment, or I might have been pissed that everyone was liking something I was hating. So who knows what would have happened.
I've been there too. 5 minutes and 24 seconds.
All right. Well, I'll talk more about Barbarian in the next episode. My number two is Genius. Chris already talked about it. Been a Kanye fan my entire life. Like, I've always loved his music. And this year should be a surprise to nobody. It was the most trying year for me as a Kanye fan. And I felt like this movie was kind of prescient in depicting how difficult the year was going to be, because I've always been a firm believer in separating the art from the artist. And I still feel that way. But I think Genius kind of showed that, like, there's one level of Kanye. I just can't deny this. There's one level of Kanye that is like the genius, the musical genius that like I latch onto as a person, as a fan of narrative, as somebody who likes talking about narrative and scope and story. Like, he's the best. Like, he just is simply the best. And he's like changing music. He's always pushing music forward. Like, it's incredible. But on top of that, the movie just becomes this incredible evaluation of like what happens to somebody who gets lost in fame, who I don't want to say necessarily like loses sight of what they plan to do, but like just gets wrapped up in this world where people expect more and more and more from you. And you keep giving them more and more and more. And you kind of lose yourself in a way, like lose yourself in a natural way. I feel like this kind of thing would just happen to anybody. And I feel like it kind of foreshadowed like just Cootie and Chike's like relationship with him. Like, you can tell they grow a little more distant and their relationship isn't the same. And like, I feel like that's what happened to me. Like, I still love Kanye's music. Like, I think he's done a lot of great stuff, but like, I just reached a point in my life where like, it didn't hit the same anymore. And it wasn't anything, like, it was just the natural flow of things. Like, he was going in this direction and it stopped being something I was attached to. And I felt all of this while watching the movie, and I feel it even more profoundly now. So like, looking back in this movie, it's just like, it was a special experience in that way that like, I kind of saw myself in the movie in a way.
It makes sense to me. That makes sense to me.
It's just incredible too, like how deep it goes and the kind of footage they have. Like, it's honestly like a landmark film in that way. It belongs in a museum.
It does have that quality about it, and that like that scale to it. My number two is X, which we're down to 2 minutes and 30 seconds. X, I think the thing that surprised me the most in the movie was that it was kind of a meditation on aging and passion. And you have the contrast between the Pearl character in the house and the younger people that come to the farm, and what the youthful people trigger in her and awaken in her. And it's like the violence that's in the film, it takes on much larger symbolic meaning for somebody that's trying to reignite something that they feel that they've lost. So there was something like incredibly beautiful and moving to me in X, which I did not expect for just kind of like a traditional slasher film. I feel like it transcended the genre and became something much more poetic and lovely.
Oh yeah. Really, really cool. Like the part where she's like dancing in the car lights. Like really, really cool poetic shots like that. Yeah, love it. That's what I love about Ty West. He's like a total like film student kind of director. Like, he's super artsy and doesn't care if, you know, people notice that. Number one for me, it's another movie I feel like nobody's probably seen. It's a Gaspar Noé movie, Vortex. It is the most atypical. Well, it's atypical in the sense that it's not like crazy and large and chaotic like Enter the Void or Climax are. It's just a very small movie about two older people. Like, one is struck with amnesia and forgetting things, and the other one is like declining in health, and you're kind of just watching them slowly die.
Oh.
So it's dark in that way for a Gaspar Noé movie. Like, it fits in that way. But just the way it depicts the decline of the mind, and how, like, the wife is losing her mind and forgetting things, and the husband is a somebody who's writing a book about dreams and trying to, like, make sense of losing your mind. And, like, it's clear, like, his journey, he's trying to make sense of this thing that's happening to his wife that doesn't really make any sense. Like, it's just the natural state of humanity. And just seeing them, like, both seeing him reckon with it while she doesn't reckon with anything because, like, she doesn't know what's going on. It's just so well done and so well acted and so incredibly shot that I've never seen a movie like this. I love Gaspar Noé. Enter the Void is one of my, maybe it could be my favorite movie ever. It's like top three for me. So, like, I knew I would love it going in, and it went beyond my expectations even.
I haven't seen any of his movies yet.
Ooh, baby.
So that's Chris. Something I wanted to see Enter the Void when it came out. I was working at a Family Video in Ohio, and I remember, like, shelving it a lot and being like, this seems like a movie that would be up my alley, but I just never got around to it.
Incredibly sad.
One of these days.
If you ever feel like having a good cry.
I pretty much, like, tear up at something every single day, so it's not typically an issue for me. So my number one is Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah.
Which I do, like, maybe expect this to change. Maybe, like, Atar, a Banshees, After Sun might take over, but Triangle of Sadness is really, like, my kind of movie. Like, I like sections, I like chapters and kind of, like, changes in location and just kind of the sense of where a movie is at. The fact that this goes from, like, the first chapter that's just Carl and Yaya seeing their relationship to suddenly we're on this cruise and the madness that unfolds over the course of the cruise to then being marooned on an island and seeing how that unfolds while the whole movie is making statements on, like, economic structures and the way in which economic structures changes the role that people have in a society and their relationship to one another in a society is so fascinating, because you could watch the movie and just be like, all right, it's like models dating people on a ship, like, okay. But when you realize that it's all symbolic for, like, countries and their economic systems or these smaller microcosms that we could be in involving money and resources, or what happens when money is taken out of the equation altogether? Who's the most powerful person and the leader when it's not about money but about survival? So there's huge ideas that are put into this very, like, satirical and beautiful and jarring movie. It just had me enamored the whole time.
Yeah, as you're describing it, it sounds like Killing Me Softly. Did it remind you of that?
It's a lot more bombastic than Killing Him Softly.
Just like Killing Him Softly and stuff.
Yeah, the symbolism and stuff, because Killing Him Softly is about the financial crisis, and all the characters in that movie are, like, embodying some aspect of the 2008 financial crisis, and that is missed often when looking at that movie. So there is something similar to it in that way. I think Triangle of Sadness is probably more fun.
Yeah. Excited to see that.
Yeah. I can't tell if it would be up your alley or not.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
So do we get, what happens when we go over time? Do we get a spanking?
you know, we'll figure it out. We'll come up with something interesting when we go over time.
Yeah, well, I don't even know, like, all right, well, yeah, you're right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
For now that we just went over time, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, you know, y'all either suffer for it or benefit from it.
We're naughty, naughty boys.
That's one way to put it. That's one way to put it.
That's a great way to end the episode, too. Maybe that should be the catchphrase.
Let's workshop it just a little more.
All right, we'll figure it out. Got a big question to ask. Anything? Do you want to do anything? Maybe do a thing with me. It seems so good. Come on and do a thing with me. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.